I'm in the Brooke Army Medical Center Hospital's parking lot in San Antonio. I'll describe why, maybe, and later in the video. I always considered myself extremely lucky for multiple reasons, and one of those reasons was because I've always known what I wanted to be. From an extremely early age, 6 or 7 years old, I knew I wanted to be a scientist. A physicist, actually. I wanted to understand Einstein's ideas. I was so adamant about being a scientist that I wanted to emulate Spock from Star Trek. I wanted to be that analytical, that logical. I wanted to reject anything and everything that I considered superstitious. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I guess, my mother would force me to go to church and to go to Sunday school. But even still though, I had mentally developed a wall of sarcasm between me and the Catholic Church. Anything and everything the priests or the nuns would tell me, I would simply reject. I would push it aside. I didn't want anything to do with it. And this was made much easier for me to reject because of my Sunday school teacher, Doña Leonor, an extremely elderly lady in her 90s that I was sure was crazy because of the stories that she would tell us. This would have been in the 70s, and because she was in the 90s, her youth would have been during or around the Mexican Revolution. We lived in the very small border town called Presidio, and across the border, across the Mexican border, there was a town called Ojinaga, and to the east of Ojinaga, there was a mountain called La Sierrita de la Santa Cruz, and according to Doña Leonor, the crazy lady, the lady that I was sure was crazy, when she was very young, when she was a teenager, the devil would come out from my cave on the far side of that mountain. And apparently, according to her, he would come down and mingle with the town folks. So obviously, I thought she was crazy. So anything and everything she would tell me, I was sure was irrational, unnecessary, and I wasn't going to have any of it. But all that changed when she told me the story of the Good Samaritan. I've been wanting to tell this story for quite some time for multiple reasons, but one of those reasons is that I think right now is a special time, at least for me, that this story and a few other biblical stories mean a great deal to me. Other reasons that I wanted to tell this story is because I suspect a lot of people like me that wanted to be purely rational, purely analytical, like Spock from Star Trek, have avoided anything religious or anything they would consider superstitious because they deem it unnecessary or a waste of time. So I'm hoping after I tell the story the way it was told to me by Doña Leonor, a lady that I was sure was crazy until she told me the story, hopefully they might realize that there is wisdom within at least some of the biblical stories. Another reason that I wanted to tell the story the way it was told to me almost over 40 years ago is because I suspect a lot of Christians to maybe elevate themselves above other types of faiths, they maybe purposefully misunderstand or ignore or avoid the main point of the Good Samaritan story. Hopefully this will make sense after I tell the story. So an important aspect of the story that some might not realize or might simply think it's not important is that it's Jesus Christ himself telling that story to an audience of Jewish people. And it's very important how that audience would interpret the story as Jesus told it. So anyways though, so I'm going to paraphrase the story because I don't remember all the details. What I do remember extremely clearly is the meaning or the wisdom that story is trying to teach or illustrate. So the story goes something like this. There's a man hurt on the road in great need of help. And eventually a rabbi comes by and notices the man that is in need of help. But because it's the Sabbath, I think, I'm not sure, that rabbi cannot do any work. According to Jewish law, he cannot help that man that is in grave need of help. So he just goes on. But thankfully, though, another man comes by, a Samaritan. And it's very important how that Jewish audience would interpret a Samaritan to be. And I'll explain this in a little bit. So a Samaritan comes by and notices a man on the side of the road that is in grave need of help, and he does actually help him. So then Jesus asks his audience made up of Jewish people, which of the two, the rabbi or the Samaritan, will know the glory of God? And I think, I'm not sure about this detail, but I think the audience replies the rabbi, because a rabbi would be a person that is a religious or maybe even extremely religious, that follows Jewish law, or what they would have said, God's law, to the letter. And the way that audience would interpret the Samaritan to be is a person that does not have a religion. Very similar to how the Greeks or the Romans considered the barbarians as a people without a civilization, the Jewish people of that day would have considered a Samaritan as a person without a religion, or a person that is not religious. The Jewish audience would have said that the rabbi, because he would be a religious person, would know the glory of God. But Jesus tells them that no, that it's the Samaritan that would know the glory of God. And so from the perspective of that Jewish audience, in essence, what Jesus was telling them, that a religious person that didn't help that man, or a non-religious person, maybe even an atheist, that did help that man, which of the two would know the glory of God? And Jesus himself said that the non-religious person that helped a man. In other words, what Jesus was communicating to that audience is that it doesn't matter if you're religious or not. It doesn't even matter if you're Christian or Jewish or any other religion. You could even be an atheist. That the way to the glory of God is by doing good deeds. That is the main point of that story. And that's the, according to Doña Leonor, the lady, the very old lady that I thought was crazy, according to her, what she was telling me at that very young age was that it didn't matter if I joined the Catholic Church. It didn't matter even if I was religious. What mattered was that my deeds were good, that I tried to be a good person by helping the people around me that were within my ability to help. So this obviously, to me, at that very young age, struck me as extremely powerful, because the religion that wanted me to join them was telling me that it didn't matter if I joined them. All that mattered was my deeds. And I know if there's a Christian listening or watching the video, they might say that our deeds will never be enough for us to deserve the glory of God. My response to a Christian that might be saying that is that it doesn't matter if we deserve it or not. What matters is that we do our best to be good people by helping the people around them, by helping the people that is within our ability to help. But I do know that the Good Samaritan story means what I just described that it means, that your religion is not as important as your deeds, that you could actually, theoretically, I guess, be an atheist and still know the glory of God. And hopefully that's a hint to what the glory of God might be. But like I said earlier, I'll explain that one later or in another video. So my whole point, other than hopefully trying to get some born-again Christians to wake up and not try to undercut other types of faiths, that just because they were born into that faith, it's always seemed arrogant to me to assume that just because I was born into my faith, then my faith has to be the right one. I don't think there is such a thing as a right one. There's just different faiths with different ways to get to the glory of God. But anyways, though, another reason that I wanted to tell the story now, because this story and a few other stories in the in the Bible have helped me quite a bit in moments of, I'm not sure what word to use, but maybe desperation. I am glad that Doña Leonor was able to tear down that mental wall of sarcasm that I had built to avoid anything that I considered superstitious, because those stories, the Good Samaritan, the Book of Job, and a few others, those stories have helped me throughout my life quite a bit, and actually it has helped me quite a bit this last couple of months, this last 4 months or so. The reason I'm right now in the Brook Army Medical Center Hospital's parking lot is because my son is in the hospital here. He's been here going on, I think, 4 months. Back in late July, he got the virus, COVID-19, and he got pretty sick pretty quick. And for the first 3 or so months, he was almost on a daily basis getting worse and worse. And it was extremely hard. I'm sure it was even harder for him, but it was extremely hard for me to not be able to do anything, to not be able to help him. And I did get some solace. My situation was made a little bit less horrible because of what I've learned of those biblical stories. At the first 3 or so months, they wouldn't let me see him. I would come here, I would wait here all day, hoping that they would let me see him, and it wouldn't work out. I was actually here quite a few weekends, like 4 days in a row, hoping that they would change their mind and let me see him. And then finally, they let me in, but they had me meet with a colonel, and he explained to me why I couldn't see him. And he told me that only patients that were at the edge of life and death could have visitors. So from that point on, I didn't want to see him. I was actually afraid that they would call me and tell me that I could see him. But eventually, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, they called me and told me that I could see him. But thankfully, they explained to me that they wanted me to see him because he was finally awake, and he was scared. Obviously, I would be scared if I was in his situation. He had tubes coming all over him. He had a tube going through his throat down to his heart, a pretty thick one, an inch thick or so. And it was red with blood being pumped into his heart, directly into his heart. He had a tube coming out of each side of his chest because both of his lungs had collapsed. He had a trachea. He had a feeding tube. He had more tubes that were going in with blood into his groin, two more tubes. And I don't know how many IVs. He was on ECMO, which is the heart and lung machine. He was on dialysis, and he was on a ventilator. And he had been in and out of consciousness for quite a few months, and he finally was fully awake. And so they called me to see if I could calm him down, because he was obviously scared. And so I did. I live in Odessa, which is about 5 hours away from San Antonio. And so the following morning I was here, and I think I was able to calm him down. I would tell him that he had to go through this to get to his normal life. He needed to be patient, not just for himself, but for everybody that still wanted him to be in their lives. And I named a few people, like his nieces, my wife, his mom, me, his brother, his half-brothers. And I think it worked, because he seemed to calm down. He had really long nails, so I trimmed his nails. His hands were like dark. He's got white skin, he's whiter than me. And so I washed his hands. I trimmed his nails and I washed his hands. And his face was clammy, so I washed his face, or, you know, with a wet cloth. And it seemed to help. It seemed to calm him down. And this had been, I had been there for a few hours. And he seemed to be calming down. And so I told him, try to rest. Try to close your eyes and try to fall asleep. And I was holding his hand. And he, every so often, he would tighten my hand, I think, to make sure that I was still there. And I told him, I think he was still awake. I told him, if I'm not here, your mother will be here. So you're not going to be alone no more. And he did. I could tell because of his breathing that he wasn't breathing as fast, and he was breathing calmly. And it seemed, his breathing seemed to slow down until eventually I was sure he was asleep. And I had to leave because I wasn't supposed to be there too long. And also his mother wanted to come in and see him. And so I think I was able to help him. And so I think the reason, or part of the reason that I've been able to go through all this and stay sane is because of those biblical stories that do have wisdom in them. And I think even if you're scientifically inclined, you might give them a chance. They might help you out if you ever find yourself in a situation similar to mine. I guess that's it.